Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, January the 13th. Coming up today, we'll hear from the boss of a private school in Medway who says students have already started dropping out of the private system after they were forced to increase fees. We'll also hear from the new Gillingham signing, but first, taking a look at our top story today. A man who's been described as a manipulative and controlling bigamist who married his teenage stepdaughter while still wed to her mother has been spared jail. Lucy has the details for the Kent Online podcast. She's here with me now. Now, Lucy, this sounds like a bit of a bizarre case. Can you give us some details?
Yes, John Ingram appeared in Maidstone Crown Court, which heard he'd exploited and abused the trust of his family for many years. At a hearing last week, it was revealed he'd married his wife in 1983, but just 5 years later, he also married his 16-year-old stepdaughter. He told a hearing he'd only done it so his young bride would be entitled to additional government benefits and lied to those officiating, telling them his previous marriage has ended. Official checks carried out during the subsequent police investigation confirmed neither marriage had legally ended. He'd also changed his name by deed poll to Neil Carr so that he could marry again, and the court was told his genuine wife used that surname when she witnessed the new marital document.
And the court also heard he fathered children with the young girl, is that right?
That's right. The 69-year-old who lives in James Street in Sheerness has many children with both women. However, he told officers his legal spouse did not know that he was the biological father of all the children he shared with her daughter as well. The children themselves had no idea who their real dad was.
So he's avoided being sent to prison. How was he sentenced?
Well, Ingram's defence team argued that the second marriage was entered into with consent from both his first wife and his stepdaughter. They also argued that any distress caused to the children over their paternity was not caused by a criminal offence, but from a decision from their parents not to tell them who their father is. He's also now the sole carer for the older woman who has dementia. Taking all of this into account, along with his guilty plea, he was handed a 2-year community order and must undertake 45 rehab activity requirements. He was also fined £300 and ordered to pay prosecution costs of £150. Just as a small note as well, the minimum age for marriage and civil partnerships was raised from 16 to 18 in February 2023.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
It's been confirmed no one was injured after a lorry hit a bridge and jackknifed on the M20. It happened between junctions 8 and 9 for Maidstone and Ashford at about 2:30 this morning. The carriageway was closed while it was cleared of debris. Police are hunting the driver of a BMW that crashed following a chase in Maidstone. Officers had requested the vehicle to stop on January 2nd. It later collided with a Ford Fiesta on Wat Tyler Way, leaving a passenger needing hospital treatment. The BMW driver ran off and still hasn't been found. A court heard how a new mum was dragged from a Maidstone pub and pushed into railings by her partner. She suffered scratches while also being forced into a taxi by David Adamiju, who wanted her to come home. The 35-year-old from Union Street admitted an assault charge just before he was due to go on trial. He's been on a 15-month community order. Pictures have revealed the scale of devastation following a fire at a business in Ramsgate. Dozens of firefighters spent more than 30 hours tackling the flames at K Laundry Limited on Northwood Road last July. An investigation was launched, but the severity of the damage across the site meant the cause couldn't be identified. A Kent hospital has apologised after a mum-to-be was told she had a urine infection and to go home only to give birth a few hours later. Philippa Wadsworth told staff at Medway Maritime she thought she'd gone into labour early but was discharged a few hours later. Albie was born weighing 4 pounds, 6 ounces and is being cared for in the baby unit. The head of midwifery says they're investigating. A Medway dad is pleading for the return of his childhood bike that's been stolen from a garage in Hempstead. Ross Hutchinson got the Rayleigh Grifter as a present 40 years ago and restored it for his own son to ride. It was taken sometime over the Christmas period.
Kent Online News.
Water's being restored to homes in part of Canterbury 3 days after a pipe burst. Freezing weather over the weekend hampered efforts to find and fix the issue in the St Martin's part of the city. We're told repairs will continue today and bottled water supplies are available from the new Dover Road Park and Ride. The Kent Online podcast has been been told a number of children have already left a private school in Kent after they were forced to increase fees. Changes announced in Labor's first budget saw tax breaks for private schools axed. From the start of the year, 20% in VAT has been added. Ben Charles is the principal of King's in Rochester.
There is a definite impact on King's Rochester. We know already that families and their children are having to make some pretty tough decisions about whether they can accommodate the increase in costs for them. And we know that a number of children have left the school at Christmas time, pre-VAT. But now that the application of VAT has been put in place, there are children who have left. So it has had a big impact on some families, and particularly for individual children. I think the impact on the children hasn't really been assessed in any way by anybody. So I personally feel that the impact will be profound. You know, to change schools mid-year, or to have to change their education establishment, whether that be in another school or having to be homeschooled, is a really significant change for the children. And obviously they're our primary concern at the school. And I think the impact will be significant for them. Well, we know that around 15% of our pupil population have additional educational needs. And we also know that if they were in a school that was bigger than ours, for example, then they perhaps wouldn't thrive as they do here. So the support that we provide the children here through our learning support department is very significant for them. And it's those children who, if they were to move in the middle of the year, where this policy really does have a significant impact. My feeling is that the aspiration to improve the educational prospects for all children is entirely noble and correct. So, you know, we should be backing the government on that. But we believe very firmly in parental choice. And if parents choose to pay for the education of their children through the independent sector, then they should have every right to do so, because we are different. It provides a diverse opportunity to go somewhere a little bit different, and parents should have that opportunity to choose.
The government say the additional cash will fund public services, including state education. Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show £10.5 million is still owed to Medway Council through unpaid fines for parking, traffic violations, truancy and littering. 220,000 fines were issued by the authority between April 2022 and September last year, but almost 30% haven't been collected. A spokesperson said they're continually working to complete recovery procedures within legislative timeframes. There are calls for a stream near Maidstone to be cleared of debris to prevent flooding. The waterway in Ditton has previously flowed into people's gardens and onto the A20 London Road. The County Council say it's been cleaned three times in the last year and inspectors visit regularly.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone dad is calling for more support for families when a baby is found to have a serious health condition. Camille Shidkovsky and his partner had to make a difficult decision to continue with her pregnancy when issues were discovered. Their daughter, Krisha, was born profoundly deaf and has developmental issues. Lucy's been chatting to Camille.
We found out about the condition on the second scan on the pregnancy, during the pregnancy. The first one was okay. On the second one, they told us that Krisha will never be born, as she suffers to a condition called allobar horopropsencephaly, or allobar at that stage, because it was changing throughout the time of the pregnancy. Allobar, effectively, it's a lack of a brain. So the children are being born without the brain parts, or there's loads of other consequences that can happen. So they can be cyclopia, they might have not undeveloped a breeding system. So effectively, with that condition, most of them are stillbirth, or they pass away literally within minutes after being born. They've been born without face, being born, and they suffocate within minutes. All these stories have been fed to us at the beginning, and that was a pretty grim time, I have to say. We have been convinced a number of times to stop the pregnancy. And Grisha's mum, she's a very tough cookie, I have to say. She said, sorry, I might get quite emotional. She said a number of times that I don't feel like I can make this decision. It's not up to me. We'll see what's going to happen. And the worst case scenario, we're gonna have a baby that's gonna give organs to some babies that need them. So it was an unbelievable burden on her shoulders, because I said, well, I'm going to support you, but at the end of the day, it's your body. I think it's your decision. And it's unbelievable that she actually took that decision, because it was horrific. It was terrible. And well, luckily throughout the pregnancy, the condition started improving. But the first few months, it was months of sleepless nights. It was months of unbelievable stress for both of us. Trying to be pragmatic, obviously, my main approach of the whole situation was, well, what's going to happen if we're going to have a if you're going to give a stillbirth to a baby? How this is going to affect your mental health? How looking after our three children that we've got will continue? How this influence everything?
That must have been incredibly tough. And what has it been like since she was born, and how has she kind of developed?
So, she was born absolutely healthy. There's a birth scale when the children are being born, scale being marked 1 to 10, and she had 10 out of 10 after being born. The development is slow. She is behind a normal, let's say, normal children or healthy children. So, being nearly 2 years old, she cannot roll on the side. She cannot sit up. She cannot really control any sort of movement. She's just learning to, or she's just trying. Literally over the last couple of weeks, she's trying to use a pen, and she knows that when she's sort of, gonna squiggle on the on a piece of paper, it will create a picture. You can tell that she wants to do it, but effectively the condition she has, she cannot plan the actions.
And how has the therapy that she's been having helped her in that journey?
Oh, the improvement is amazing. We have been trying. We basically spend all our savings, everything we had. We've been doing as many things as we can, swimming, physiotherapy. I got to say that NHS gives you something like 18 hours of physiotherapy per year, which is absolutely not enough. She should have something every other day. And I really feel for parents in a similar situation, because the amount of physiotherapy that is being awarded by NHS is way, way beyond what the actual needs of children like this are. So we've been going to Poland for a dedicated Wojta therapy, which is one of physiotherapy methods. That was remarkable. It's fantastic, and you can see the improvement after every single therapy. I can see tiny little things that are changing. The fact that she's moving her legs a little bit more when she's lying down, the fact that she's trying to sit up, the fact that she's lately trying to hold her little fork in her little hand, and she doesn't really know how to, aim it to the mouth, but she is showing a signs of development, and she's giving us a lot of hope. There is not enough support for parents that are facing with a similar problem. Central encephaly is a very rare condition, mainly because most of the parents are being talked into aborting the babies because of the condition that it's getting. It's costed us our relationship, in all fairness, as we've ended up splitting up because of all the stress and everything else. There's just not enough help in this ground. There was no one who called us and say, well, listen, there's a hope, things can change. Take it easy, take it day by day, because that will be a life-changing thing. When I'm going back to the time of pregnancy, it was one of the worst times in our life, when we just completely didn't feel supported. I was hoping I'll never gonna be in a situation like that, but yeah, here we are. Krisha is nearly two, and everything is going well.
Kent Online News.
There's plenty of development news from around the county at the moment, so here are some of the more significant stories. A charity that supports military veterans has announced plans for a £12.5 million factory, academy and offices in Kent. Royal British Legion Industries wants to replace its current outdated facility in Aylesford. If the project's approved, they'll be able to recruit 80 more people. So far, just half the money has been raised. Lisa Farmer is the charity's chief exec.
This project is nationally vital. It's not about a new building, it's about what takes place within that building. It's about disability employment, it's about veteran employment, it's about social value. These are really important national issues, and RBLI is leading the way in all of these areas. And a new building will enable us to do more. Well, we know that training and qualifications are vital for people to sustain and develop and thrive in the workplace. So RBLI wants to be able to employ far more veterans and people with disabilities. We want to grow our turnover, we want to double that. And we want to do it from a building that is fit for the future and really has great environmental credentials. But we're building our commercial partnerships across the UK. We're working with some great companies, house builders, Barrett Redrow. We're also looking at packaging. And so we're beginning to build the strategy so we can double the turnover, double the amount of veterans, but really move into that commercial space. And that's very important with us. People want to buy from RBLI. They love our reputation. They love the social value. And so it's for us now to be able to do that. But we need a new building. We need the new building. We cannot do it from the building we're in.
A Kent primary school looks set to take in extra pupils to meet demand from new housing. The trust that runs Marden Primary wants to add a single-storey building so it become a two-form entry. If approved, it would see pupil numbers increase from 292 to 397. Plans to refurb or rebuild a sports centre in North Kent have suffered a setback after the government said it wouldn't make cash available. Swanscombe Pavilion bosses had applied for money through the Community Ownership Fund but were unsuccessful. The site has been closed for the past 2 years. A disused nursery next to a notorious alleyway in Folkestone is set to be converted into a shop. The former Precious Times building on Cheriton Road is close to an underpass that's been branded a drug den. If approved, we're told the shop would open from 6 a.m. until midnight Monday to Saturday and 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. on Sundays. The people converting an historic landmark on the Kent coast into a holiday, let's say it should be finished by spring. Work on the Martello Tower number 25 in Dymchurch suffered a setback when it was targeted by thieves last September. The former fort dates back to the Napoleonic War. The developers have launched an appeal after plans for 250 homes on land in Faversham were rejected. They'd hoped to build off Ham Road but were turned down by the council in June last year. Gladman Developments have appealed, which means the decision will now be made by the government's planning inspectorate. Plans to build homes on the site of a garden centre near Wingham have been refused. Preston Gardens and the Coppers Bistro nearby closed unexpectedly last summer. An initial proposal for 10 properties was turned down by Dover Council last year. Now a revised bid for half the number of homes has also been thrown out. A site in Ashford is set to be cleared of rubbish before demolition work begins. The Kent Wool Growers land in Tannery Lane has been vacant since 2017. There have been two significant fires. The area is owned by the council and could eventually be turned into homes. Multi-million pound plans to regenerate part of Sheerness are expected to be approved by council bosses this week. If it's all approved, the Beachfield Centre will be upgraded and there'll be an 18-hole adventure golf course outside. An extension of the building would also see a bigger GP facility and healthy living centre. And an historic pub in Deal could be turned into a house. The 18th century Hare and Hounds on Northbourne Road closed early last year. Developers now want to turn it into a three-bedroom property with terraced homes on the former car park.
Kent Online News.
Business owners in Dymchurch say they fear for their futures after a no-swim warning was put in place. The water quality has been rated poor by the Environment Agency due to an increase in bacteria such as E. coli. It's led to concerns holidaymakers will stay away during the normally popular summer months. Jacob Wools is the co-owner of the Dymchurch Amusement Park.
I'm here every day trying to improve business, trying to expands, trying to earn a living, and it feels like everything's going against us, particularly this year.
And what do you think it would, if worse came to worse and you weren't able to survive, what do you think, what impact do you think that would have on not only the Dymchurch community, but also the wider community in terms of not having an amusement?
I think the impact would be huge. The caravan sites here. You've got a Dymchurch for the amusement park and the beach. That's all you've got a Dymchurch for. And at the moment, it's looking like we're not going to get the beach. So if you haven't got the amusement park, what are you going to go to Dymchurch for in this area?
So you think it would have a knock-on effect to all the other businesses, the pubs?
Every business here, I would say nearly every business here would have a huge impact. I don't know how they'd survive.
So your fear really is for the entire village, really?
Absolutely.
And all the businesses in the entire village?
Yeah.
Do you think it's sort of, I mean, obviously it's happened now. The water quality is that level. What are your thoughts on the fact that it was even able to get to this point, that it's got to a point where the seas are so dirty that people aren't able to swim in it?
It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. I don't know how it's got to this point, and I don't know who's in charge of it or how it's even been allowed. But it's here now and we have to deal with it.
The Environment Agency says they're working with Southern Water and the council to try and improve the situation. And every bus driver from Maidstone says she's been blown away after thousands of pounds was raised following a cancer diagnosis. Lynn Ross won't be able to do daily deliveries in Barming while having treatment. She's been described as simply the best by the local community. And a Margate man who used to weigh 44 stone and didn't leave his house for 6 years is set to take on an epic walking challenge. Connor Steptoe has been inspired to tackle his food addiction following a family tragedy. He's aiming to walk 1 million steps in 3 months while raising money for mental health charity Mind.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham have signed winger Asha Agbinoun on loan for the rest of the season. The 19-year-old joins from Crystal Palace.
How would you describe yourself as a player?
No, I'd say quite tricky, skillful, direct as well, and like to get goals and assists and work hard for the team as well.
Having watched your clips, you tend to play on the left more than the right, but
yeah. Presumably
can you play both?
Yeah, I can play both, but yeah, left or right, but more time I'm on the left, so yeah, don't mind either.
And I think it's your first loan spell away from Crystal Palace, so yeah. I think you've been in the academy for perhaps 10 years.
Yeah.
So is it a bit of a strange feeling leaving Palace, albeit on a short-term deal?
Not really, to be honest, because at the end of the day it's football, so just going somewhere else to play football, but nah, grateful for the opportunity to be here on loan and feel like it's, you know, the perfect time for me and the perfect place for me to continue my development under the new gaffer. And, you know, I had good conversation with Hess, so yeah, feeling good and ready.
So during those conversations, what are they expecting of you? Where do they think you'll fit within our kind of setup? I appreciate the new manager, so we haven't actually seen his setup yet, but are there discussions of where you fit in?
No, obviously they just said they want me to play my game, be me, you know, play free and obviously be creative in that final third. And, you know, be decisive, get goals and assists and help out the team. So, yeah.
Gillingham's game against Fleetwood Town was postponed on Saturday due to a frozen pitch at Priestfield. It was meant to be John Coleman's first game in charge. Their next game is against Doncaster this coming Saturday. Staying with football, and Bromley's run in the FA Cup is over. They forced Newcastle to come from a goal down to beat them 3-1 at St James's. Elsewhere in the competition, Man United eventually beat Arsenal after it went to penalties. To ice hockey now, and it was back-to-back defeats for Kent's Invicta Dynamos in South Division 1 over the weekend. They were beaten 1-0 at Streatham Redhawks on Saturday before losing 5-3 to Chelmsford Chieftains last night. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.